John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Looking ahead to Titans and Chargers, and to help us do that, we welcome in our good friend Jared Stillman to the program. Jared, you ended the snide last week, a victory in Jared versus Joe, and this week Joe comes back with a vengeance, snatches yet another victory. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad to be on. I was actually thinking about Jared versus Joe yesterday. And I kind of wanted your thought of this, Robbie, because I think Caroline was on my side, but we didn't adjudicate this point. I think the Saban dynasty is over. Joe thinks the Saban dynasty is not over. Is the Saban dynasty over?
I'm not willing to say it's over just because they're recruiting very highly, but he's got to find a quarterback. And this team, the more I watch it, the more I think they could be going 9-3 this year, 10-2, maybe at best, just given the talent that they do have. But I'm not quite willing to go there yet, although I do find it interesting, and I had somebody talking to me about this the other day. Isn't it interesting, ever since NIL has come into the fold, that both Clemson and Alabama seem to be coming back to the pack a little bit? Just throwing it out there. Just seem to be coming back to the pack.
Well, yeah, but like
yeah,
Clemson,
but there's a big difference in those two, though. Like, Alabama's doing all the stuff. Clemson is, yeah, that's, they're a little behind.
Clemson's like, yeah, we're too good for to give players NIL. We're too good for the transfer portal. And then they lose to Duke. And so maybe now they're not too good for that stuff anymore.
I don't know that we're going to hear a whole lot of Dabo replacing Saban talk as they move forward here, but we'll see what happens.
Hey, remember the Jeremy Pruitt replacing Saban talk?
Oh, yes, we remember for sure. No question about that.
You guys are probably leading the charge on that. The Homer Network over here.
Better get Pruitt protected out there. Alabama,
guys, breaking down three
up
deep on the Vols this week against Florida.
Hey, big game coming up in the Swamp. Jared, speaking of big games, who is this game bigger for on Sunday? Brandon Staley and the Chargers or Ryan Tannehill and the Titans?
Oh, I mean, it's bigger for Ryan Tannehill. I mean, the thing is that Brandon Staley, like, you know, his fate will be determined by if the Chargers make the playoffs and then if they can win a game in the playoffs or something like that. And, you know, it's like I was talking to somebody yesterday about the Titans game against the Saints, and they were like, well, it's just one game. And I was like, you know, there's a part of me that the younger part of me would just one game. But no, I mean, it was just one game the other day. You know, with Tannehill, I mean, Paul brought up this point on the show the other day that if he starts off, if they go 3-and-out to start this game, it may get ugly. And I mean, I asked TD this question, and I guess I'd ask both of you guys this question. I mean, it's starting to feel a little bit like the end of Mariota here. Like what is going on with Tannehill is starting to feel like the end of Mariota. And, you know, Vrabel pulled the plug on him, you know, probably quicker than I thought he would have pulled that plug. So I certainly think it's much bigger for Tannehill. I also think it's much bigger for Tannehill, too, because while everybody always says they have confidence, you know, the Titan way is to never say anything bad about anybody. Like, Derrick Henry gets up there, carries the ball six times, and is like, yeah, you know, I think it's fine to give Julius Chestnut the ball more than me. You know, whatever the coach says is fine. You know, I do wonder, you know, is that team going to lose faith in Tannehill if he has another performance like he did on Sunday? So I think the game's bigger for Tannehill.
Well, you know, but wait a minute now, because didn't you have him like 14th in the list of people to blame for this? You were blaming like, you're blaming like John Robinson. You're blaming like Bud Adams. I forget your whole list.
Well, Vrabel's not going to bench himself.
The biggest
Joe
Tannehill apologist in town. I mean, all of a sudden,
Vrabel is not going to bench himself because they didn't sign a left tackle and because they drafted a left tackle that they play at left guard and because Vrabel for some reason is the only person on the planet who's in love with a 275-pound center. He's not going to bench himself So, I mean, like, that, it's easy to say, well, didn't you say that Vrabel, you know, was more responsible for the loss on Sunday than Tannehill? Sure.
Right, because that's ridiculous.
But
yeah,
Vrabel
is not going
to bench himself.
Vrabel also did not throw those passes.
He would be the second coach in the history of sports to sit there and say, you know what, it's time for somebody else to do this. Steve Spurrier was the first, and he'd be second. And so that's not going to happen. And so, I mean, I do think
sometimes,
like,
Jared.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, sometimes, Jared, the simple answer that's right in front of your face is the right one. You know, Tannehill had a bad day. You're trying to make this an entire value judgment on Tannehill and, like, the big picture of what all the team has done. Bottom line is, Tannehill does what he does almost every other day of his career playing this game, and they win. I mean, that's it. They just hit obvious throws, don't make obvious terrible mistakes, you win. You're turning this into an entire value judgment on Tannehill and trying to trace it to Vrabel. I mean, it's not that deep, man.
Oh, I mean, I think that Tannehill is certainly on the list. I mean, I think Tannehill was second on my list behind Vrabel, but
moved him up. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Tannehill was second, Tim Kelly was third. But I mean, Tim Kelly yesterday was talking about how he thought he should have done a better job, and I agree. But, I mean, I do think that, like, I think that Tua and Tannehill are similar in this regard, where I think that, you know, we can look at Tua's stats, and that's great that Tua threw for 460 yards on Sunday. But Tua is throwing for 460 yards because Tua can take a three-step drop and just throw the ball right down the field to a spot, and Tyreek Hill's going to go run and go get it. Like, he's just going to go get it. Wherever you put it, he'll get it. And then, you know, Mike McDaniel's drawing up these plays where not one guy is wide open in the end zone, but two guys are wide open in the end zone. So the first guy jumps up to catch the ball, then realizes it's for the second guy, so then he, you know, puts his hands down as he's up in the air so that the other guy can catch the ball. I mean, Tua, I'm not trying to sit here and tell you that Tua is no good, but Tua is throwing for 460 because of what's around Tua, more than because Tua all of a sudden is, you know, Tom Brady. Like, that's the issue. Tannehill, I think, is kind of the same way, and I don't think the Titans have done a good job to insulate Tannehill for him to be successful, and I think that that was a factor on Sunday, especially early because he got hit so much.
Jared, what is the game plan? How do the Titans win this game offensively if Hopkins can't go on Sunday?
I mean, they need to run the freaking ball. Like, the Chargers last year were 28th in the NFL against the run. Now, they held the Dolphins to 3.5 yards of carry, but I think it was more so because the Dolphins didn't really want to run the ball. And the Dolphins did, I mean, just early in the game, I mean, I think the Dolphins did, you know, crank a couple of good rushes there with Raheem Mostert. But, I mean, just like last week, they played a team that had a good pass defense in the Saints. Now, the pass defense for the Saints is better than the pass defense for the Chargers. But the Chargers' pass defense was 7th in the NFL last year. And you don't have Tyreek Hill. So, last year they were 28th against the run. I mean, I think the Titans have got to commit to running the ball. And I don't, you know, run the ball with both guys. I really think the Titans have to look at this game and say, okay, we have to commit to running it, and if we commit to running it and we lose, then we lose doing what we do best. And so I think if the Titans can't commit to running the football, I mean, yes, Herbert is – I mean, I freaking love Herbert, but they held the Chargers to 17 points last year in the game on the road. I think the defense – for the people that are worried that they're going to give up 35 points, I think the defense is going to be okay, but I'd run the football – and I'd kind of try to keep it in, you know, third. If it's 3rd and 4 or 3rd and 5, I can live with that. But, I mean, if they get in these 3rd and 13s against Bosa and company, they're in trouble. So I would try to run the football and be creative running the football, but be dedicated to running the football.
You said this feels like with Tannehill, like the end of Mariota. So how long do you think then, what do you think the timeline is until he actually could be in jeopardy?
So I think with a lot of things, especially with this team, because of the way Vrabel coaches, it's not so much of like, I'm going to give you 3 games, and then after 3 games, I'm going to pull the plug. But I think it's kind of that moment. And I keep thinking about the look on Vrabel's face in that Broncos game in 2019, where he's sitting there, and remember he had a mustache at the time. and he was like bent over, like his legs were spread out and he was bent over at the waist. And he just had this look of constipation on his face. Like he could not get that poop out. And it's like, if we see Vrabel on the sideline like that again, if we feel that way that Vrabel felt, then I think it's time to start thinking about it. The biggest difference is, you know, week six would be the most obvious because after week six, you have the bye, you've got the London trip behind you, and the schedule probably lightens up a little bit, at least on paper. But it's not the same as having Ryan Tannehill as the backup to where it's just, okay, Tannehill, you're in. They don't have that. You know, I mean, I remember in 2018, Mariota made some mistakes, and I was thinking if anybody but Blaine Gabbert was the quarterback, you know, I'd be thinking about making a switch here. But Blaine Gabbert was the backup. Here, I mean, do you punt on the season if you start off 0-4 and go to Levis? I mean, I certainly think he's the quarterback of the future. And then it's like, well, is Levis not ready? Because I wouldn't want to put a guy out there before he's ready and then ruin him. Like, it's one thing to lose and say, well, if I'm going to lose, I'll lose with the young guy. But it's another thing to say, well, if I lose with the young guy, I blow his confidence, and I don't want to do that. So I think it's a little bit more complicated than just, you know, how long until this happens. But, I mean, if we see a repeat of last Sunday, Vrabel is not, you know, if we see Vrabel on the sidelines bent over at the waist, I mean, it could not be long. And maybe it is Willis, although I can't imagine Willis would give you a better option to win than Tannehill, even the Tannehill that played on Sunday.
Well, Jared, we're looking forward to the game on Sunday. Looking forward to the award-winning pregame show as well that you're a part of. And we'll talk to you next week. Have fun, buddy.
Sounds good, guys.
All right, Jared Stillman with us on the program. Joins us every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Looking ahead to Titans-Chargers. Got more of your thoughts to get to on the matchup Sunday for the Titans as well. That's all coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. I've got some tickets to give away to see the final Nashville show, a tribute to Ronnie Millsap at Bridgestone Arena, coming up Tuesday, October 3rd. Performances by Kelly Clarkson, Little Big Town, Tracy Lawrence, and more. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the final Nashville show, a tribute to Ronnie Millsap, coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, October 3rd. 615-737-1025. So, Joe, I'm going to throw the same question to you that I just threw out to our good buddy Jared Stillman. Who is this game bigger for on Sunday? Is it Brandon Staley and the LA Chargers? Is it Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans? We have our first long dramatic pause from Rex Road today.
Well, it's a very difficult question. I need a moment to consider this.
You do.
So I don't think it's as, I mean, obviously everybody in this town, well, of course it's Tannehill and the Titans, like Jared just did. But you think about the Chargers, you go lose this game after you lose that game at home, and they go to the Vikings next, I believe, which, you know, anybody watched the Vikings last night, they can get you offensively. Their defense leaves a little bit to be desired. And also
the game might be 45-40.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, they can get you offensively, and if they're not turning it over four times, fumbling it four times, then, gosh, what might they do? But you could see where this could get ugly. I just think Staley is one of those guys who could be an in-season guy. I could be wrong. I mean, probably not until, like, you know, you're out of the playoffs. But I think he's right around the top of the list of hot seat coaches. So I think it's very close. I think it's very, very close. You know, I guess the fact that you're at home and, you know, you're Tannehill, you're at home. You don't want the negativity to get to the point where now the entire team is experiencing that, because most of the negativity expressed Sunday, if there is any from Titans fans, would be toward the offense, I'm guessing. And,
yes.
And specifically toward him, you know, that's the thing. It's like, you want to get the home fans on your side, because I think it can affect a team if, like, you know, if the home crowd is angrily booing you. And I don't disagree with one thing Jared said there, which is, you know, you do think about just confidence in Tannehill internally. I mean, if he plays like that, then it will erode. So from that perspective, it's a huge, huge game for him to just stop it right now, get back to who you have been, and play winning football. But I also I just think the Chargers, both these teams, nobody wants to fall to 0-2. 0-2 means a lot when it comes to the playoffs in the NFL. It actually did end up meaning that with the Titans last year, even though it looked like they were going to be one of those teams to buck the trend. Lots of twists and turns ahead in this season, but I think it's very close. I'll give the edge to the Titans because they're at home. And again, because, you know, if you do have this situation and Tannehill's going to regress, not work in this offense, whatever, and loses confidence, everybody loses confidence in him, then like there's no easy solution because you're not going to have some jolt from playing one of those other guys right now. I don't think at all. So you're kind of in limbo. I mean, you need him to right the ship immediately.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Especially, you know, one's a player, obviously, and one's a coach. And Brandon Staley is near the top of the list of people on the hot seat for me heading into this year based on the talent that they have. And look, you know, Charles yesterday talked about how, like, if the Chargers don't make the playoffs, then the ownership for LA is going to seriously consider moving on from him. I think it's beyond that. Like, if you don't win a playoff game this year with that team, at what point are you looking around if you're the Chargers ownership and being like, look how much money we've spent. Look at the talent on the defensive side of the ball that you've accumulated. Your quarterback, we all think, is one of the top 5 or 10 quarterbacks in the league. You've got an offense that you built that can be electric. You can't win a playoff game with that roster. Like, I think it's going to take more than just making the playoffs for Brandon Staley this year to keep his job. That's just me. Now, having said that, you look at this game, Chargers in this division, if they lose this and they go to 0-2, they've got the Vikings coming up after that, the Raiders with Jimmy G at home the week after that. Then it's the Cowboys and the Chiefs in back-to-back weeks after that. Now, you could also look at the Titans schedule and say, well, if you fall to 0-2, you've got the Browns who just beat Cincinnati last week. You've got Cincinnati the week after that. You got Baltimore coming up after the Colts game. By the way, I mean, the Colts didn't look terrible last Sunday against Jacksonville. So
they'd love to kick your butt at home.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a gimme for the Titans either. So, I mean, you can mess around with the schedule and kind of make it work either way you want to make it work. Bottom line is, this is a huge game for Ryan Tannehill, and I think that it's important that he responds and plays really well. But I think I'm actually going to give it to Staley. Like, I think it's a bigger game for the Chargers based on expectations, based on the talent on their roster. And if you dig yourself in an 0-2 hole, I think it's going to be really difficult for them to climb their way out of it. Now, having said that, also a big game that influences that this weekend between Jacksonville and Kansas City, with Kansas City going on the road to the Jags.
Yeah, I mean, and that, here's the question on the Staley thing for you, because I hear you on like winning a playoff game for sure. I mean, I think you're right. But do you think he could be an in-season guy?
Yes, I do. Now,
yeah.
I think in the NFL, unless you're just an absolute Urban Meyer level disaster, and Brandon Staley is not that. I don't think he's a good football coach, but he's not that. Unless you're just one of those, in season probably means week 15, week 14, week 16, somewhere in that neighborhood where you're just out of it at that point. But yeah, I'm not going to take that off the table for Brandon Staley. You know, do I expect the Chargers to be totally out of it by then? I don't, but I mean, this continues, and Charles, I think, said it best. Like, this is a team defensively that has a lot of recognizable players that you look around and you say, why isn't their defense better than it has been the last couple of years? So I look at Staley and I look at this team that he has. There's a whole lot of pressure on him. If they go 0-2, if they start 0-2 and the Titans get this win on Sunday, there is going to be so much noise around Brandon Staley and his job moving forward.
No, I think you're right. And the thing is, it's like, you know, obviously they got torched by Tua.
They did.
Who continues to be disrespected by people like Jared. But regardless, I agree. The receivers are fantastic. The play caller, the coach is a very good offensive mind, all that stuff. You know, that's 36 points to them. It's not ideal, but you get it. But if you go from that to like letting this team get into the 20s, you know, yeah. I guess you could look at it like progress if you just want to look at the numbers, but everybody would know that's a bad deal. People don't let the Titans get into the 20s. So if you do, with all the talent you have on that side of the ball, with your coach who has a defensive background, what does that mean?
Raymond on the text line says, Vrabel is on an 8-game losing streak. Tannehill has 2 years of quarterbacks drafted behind him. Both of them should feel the heat. This from Raymond on the text line. We didn't even throw Vrabel into this discussion.
Yeah, well, the I would say the actual in reality seat temperature comparing Staley to Vrabel is
not close.
Like, is like a sauna to a block of ice. That said, you know, again, there's two different hot seats. There's the public hot seat and the, you know, the actual ownership hot seat, the one that matters. But I mean, look, the noise gets louder and louder each week. This continues that they lose. It's, I mean, I guess if they lose, like if they lose Sunday, let's say they lose like 35-34, they get into a shootout and, you know, Justin Herbert makes one more play and the Titans are playing without Hooker and Fulton and Justin Herbert just has this ridiculous day, but the offense all of a sudden looks good and it's like they figured some things out. I mean, I guess that would be more acceptable, right, of a loss. It would still be disappointing on the defense. It would be more acceptable, like, okay, you found some offense against a team with a lot of good players on defense, you know? That would be better than losing this game, you know, like, let's say it's a close game. Obviously, you don't get blown out. That's a different story altogether. But like a 19-16 game, it's just like, I mean, that to me is almost worst-case scenario, you know?
Well, then you get a lot of fans will start talking about Vrabel in terms of why can't you get the offense figured out? Like, the injuries were one thing. But if you continue, if you go through the first 2 weeks and your offense just continues to look horrible, a lot of fans are going to say, I mean, you blame Todd Downing. Now you've hired Tim Kelly. Are we going to blame him again? Or are you going to start pointing the blame toward Mike Vrabel?
Right. Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I absolutely. And it's fair. I mean, even last year when everybody was like, Todd Downing is the biggest blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, you know, Vrabel did hire him, right? I mean, Vrabel is in those meetings. Vrabel knows what they're doing. Vrabel knows the plays. Vrabel knows the game plans, right? So, like, sometimes people act like these OCs are, like, going rogue on the head coach. You know? And for the most part, I don't think they are. So, that's totally fair. That stuff does go back to him.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll look ahead to the matchup between Tennessee and Florida. How damaging of a loss would this be for the Vols if they can't get it done tomorrow in the Swamp? We'll get into that coming up next. Make sure you play Silly Underdog Picks this week for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can make your picks today at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app before the first game on Saturday. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Tune in to 1025-1063 The Game this Saturday at 11 a.m. for our college football game of the week. Illinois taking on Penn State, presented by Superbook Sports and Twin Peaks. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all the hottest non-conference games around the country. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Check out the new luxury listing at 6551 Brownlee at TJAndersonHomes.com. Joe Rex Road, the Vols headed to the Swamp tomorrow to take on the Florida Gators, one of the best rivalries of the 90s in college football. Been very one-sided since then. Tennessee does get the win last year. Final score was 38-33 in a game that really wasn't that close last year at Neyland Stadium. Lots of pressure on the Vols heading into this game tomorrow. They're a 6.5-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We'll get to our picks for Tennessee and Florida coming up later in the show, and picks can pick them. But, Joe, let's say they go into the Swamp tomorrow and things go poorly offensively, and Graham Mertz and the Gators are able to make just enough plays against Tennessee on that side of the ball, and Tennessee drops this game to Florida in the Swamp. How damaging of a loss would that be for this program, for this team tomorrow, if that were to take place, in your opinion?
This is another one. We're just talking about the Titans' loss, right? Like, if the offense gets cooking and they lose a shootout to a crazy talented QB, no one's happy. 0-2, not good. But there's a little bit of – you can see a path out. If the Vols lose one of those wacky games to Florida, but the offense functions like it's somewhat like it's supposed to look this year, and like Joe Milton isn't the problem, then it would be highly disappointing. And you can speak to this better than I can. I mean, I think it would be highly disappointed. It would be just – I mean, honestly – to me, that would be the clincher of, you know what, embrace that you're not going to be playing in Florida every year moving forward, because it's just, there is just a freaking curse, you know? So there's that, which would still be bad. But if it's, you lose this game because Joe Milton and this offense are just not good, and we're headed toward a year of totally different offensive football watching with the Vols, and, you know, like the Gators lock them down and they score like 20 points or something in this game, well, then the noise will be, I think the noise will be mostly directed toward Milton, and it won't be as much toward like Heupel, you know?
Yeah.
Because we've seen what Heupel can do with his offense, and he's had a lot of success with various quarterbacks in this offense. It would be like, you just have to, it will be all Nico all the time to me. Yeah. It'll be Nico, Nico, Nico. And look, it may be Nico, Nico, Nico behind closed doors too, if it's that bad.
It might be. Look, this is a disaster if they lose this game in any fashion tomorrow. I'll put it to you that way.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is not just because, I mean, I think Tennessee's better, which I think they are. But, I mean, this is where I think the history of it does matter a little bit, in terms of, you have been so behind the eight ball against this team for a long time. You got the win last year, so you snapped the losing streak. You haven't won in the swamp since 2003. You look at recruiting, things are going really well for Tennessee. Things are also going really well for Florida. So, you know, regardless of what you think of Billy Napier, I have no idea whether or not Billy Napier is a good coach yet by this point. I've not been impressed by what I've seen from him so far at Florida. Now, I also think he's got a pretty bad team this year. But I think he's got a pretty bad team this year. So if you're Tennessee and you can't take advantage of that, regardless of what it looks like to me, that's a disaster for you. And you start to look at the rest of the season, you're like, geez, what's this going to look like? Now, I agree with you. I think there's different levels to it. Like if Joe Milton comes out tomorrow and he's really bad, then I think the fan base, number one, definitely is going to turn on him. And number two, I do start to wonder at that point, how much patience does Heupel have to get the offense to wait and get the offense going? Like I paid attention a couple of weeks ago, and I, you know, I didn't raise my eyebrows at the time, like it meant that Joe Milton's starting job was in jeopardy at that point. But I did pay attention a few weeks ago before the season when Heupel was talking about Nico, and he was like, yeah, he's ready to play right now. I mean, you don't really see him say that very often about young guys like that, but he's like, yeah, he can play, and he's ready to play right now. So I wonder internally, even with Heupel, if it goes poorly for Milton tomorrow, how willing he would be to maybe make that switch.
No, I agree. And multiple times in the preseason, he made a big point about the progress an improvement from Nico, and Nico, just everything that I've seen, been around, heard about Nico is total maturity, and maturity also in, like, right now deferring to Joe Milton and embracing the idea of being QB2 this year and getting ready to take it over next year. That's worked out really well in recent times in college football for some of these five-star quarterbacks. But that also tells me, like you said, I had a different, little bit different feel for how this might go if it goes bad, based on those comments from Heupel. So that's the thing. It's almost simpler though for Vols fans if it's that, right? Then it's like you can just focus all your anger at poor Joe Milton and,
yeah,
you know, 6-year senior, get out of here, and, you know, move on from there. If it's not that, it's something else, like the defense blows a gasket in this game. I don't know. I mean, I think they're good. I think it's a lot better defense. I'm confident in this matchup, the Tennessee's defense against Florida's offense. But it's not like Graham Mertz can't complete passes, move the ball. You have a good game plan. All of a sudden, you know, yeah, how things can go on in prime time in the swamp, especially. So, you know, if it's something like that, then it's just a massive disappointment, of course, for a team that I don't think either of us thought was a real national title or playoff contender. But I do look at this schedule, I do look at the SEC, and I see so much opportunity to be undefeated going to Tuscaloosa. This team should be undefeated going to Tuscaloosa. So anything short of that, it's a massive disappointment.
We're going to find out a whole lot about Milton tomorrow. You know, we've talked about, you know, everybody talks about there's this, you know, 5 or 6 year sample size with him, and there's really not. When you break it down, he's not played that much football. I do think we're going to find a lot about what he is and what he's made of tomorrow. He's not played overly well the first couple of weeks. He has taken responsibility for that. Apparently the players only meeting, that's what that was about. They need him tomorrow. Like, they need him to be what they think he can be. Like, I don't think the confidence in him from his teammates or from Josh Heupel was them blowing smoke. Like, I think they actually believe in Joe Milton that he could play. But I think on the road in this environment, with the stakes being what they are, with the spotlight being on him, I think we're going to find out a lot of what Joe Milton is made of tomorrow.
No doubt. And look, he can do, he's tremendously talented. He can do some things that no one else can do. And I mean, Joey Halsley talked about that last year in Miami, about like, even the way you design things is different with him because of what you do. But that's also a big, big day for him. He's a first time OC, and it hasn't looked good. I think a lot of it is execution, but still, you know, it all worked in beautiful concert for 2 years with, especially last year, but really for 2 years with Golish, Heupel, Hooker. It was, you know, it was a symphony, you know? And so you have to also look at the OC here. It's a big day for him too. It's a big week for him, you know, to get on the same page with Milton and put in some things that are going to work. And then ultimately you got to play catch, and these receivers have to catch the ball. I mean, I still think, this is a highly talented receiver room, and it just hasn't looked like it so far.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our buddy Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, how you doing, Robbie? What's up, Joe?
Good.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Tennessee fans, Knoxville, Tennessee, just relax. Relax. It's going to be okay tomorrow. Joe Mills is going to have a big day, Robbie. McCoy and White, both have 100 yards receiving. Tennessee will win that game easily, 35-7. I think Joe. I know he's under the gun. He has some pressure on him, but I think he's going to really show his true form tomorrow in that game. Like you said, they had a players-only meeting. Joe was saying the defense. I think their defense will step up and play big time. Florida really doesn't scare me, Robbie. When you talk about Graham Mertz, I guess that's his name, the quarterback for Florida. They're young, but they're not really a great team right now. I think they'll get a big win in the swamp. But, Joe, I wanted to ask you a question while I got you and Robbie on here before I get off. I heard y'all the other day talking about Mel Tucker. Joe, what's the end result with Mel?
Well, I think, you know, I think Mel, this is obviously terrible judgment on his part. And I don't know the back and forth with Mel and Brenda Tracy. I have no idea. They have a hearing, but it's regardless, it's terrible judgment, but it's not the kind of, I mean, to me, this is not the kind of situation that's going to end his career. I think the next thing for him is, you know, does he go through the Saban coaching rehab program like so many coaches do? I think that's possible. I think he'll be a DC at a prominent program soon enough somewhere. You know, does this hurt him in terms of being a head coach because of that judgment? Because there is a totally different level of, like, responsibility heading up a program? Maybe. But at the same time, you know, I mean, I think he'll be a DC. He's a valued coach. And this isn't like – this was dumb. This was – and again, Michigan State's history makes it worse. But, I mean, let's compare this to some other coaches who have – been able to bounce back and get back into the rotation. I mean, again, but you were going to compare this to Bobby Petrino, yeah. I guess in some ways it's comparable. Well, Bobby Petrino is the OC now at Texas A&M. So that's now, will Bobby Petrino be a major Power 5 head coach again? I have my doubts. And maybe that's the same thing with Mel Tucker, but at the very least, he'll be a well-paid DC for somebody.
Yeah. Mark, yeah. What do you think, Robbie?
Oh, I'm with him. Like, I think this is going to end up the same. What Joe just kind of laid out there. I mean, obviously, they're going to have to figure out the buyout part of this and whether or not he's getting any money or is he going to be fired with cause. But he's probably going to be fired, and I'm interested to see where he lands after that. But he'll be a DC at some point here pretty soon. Mark, have a good weekend, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right, y'all have a good day, man. See y'all later, Joe. Robbie.
Absolutely.
All right, Mark. Thanks, buddy.
Coming up next, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rexroad.
Look at me. What about me would make you think that I care about your opinion of me? Your opinion of me is not the opinion that I have of myself. You ain't make me, so you can't break me. You didn't build me, so you can't kill me. You know what? God established me, so you ain't nothing you can do to me. I've been him. I've been a difference maker, a game changer. I've been that guy. So what would change? Not a darn thing. I'm not even playing the game, and you got an opinion of me. I love it, but I don't care. And I wish the world thought like that. Youngsters, if you're out there right now, do not give a darn what opinion people have of you. Long as that opinion is not consistent of that of yourself. You be you. I'm not paying to make you feel good about me. I already feel good about me. I'm good. Message for the youngsters out there. And the olders, old school, not old fools.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. And Joe, it feels like there's going to be a bit of a Coach Prime flavor to the Rex Rant today.
Yeah, well, let's just go to, there was some good Deion sound right there. Let's go to Jay Norvell, Colorado State head coach. You know, think about, before we go to these clips, you know, think about Jay Norvell, right? So before Deion came to Boulder, I would argue he had the better program in the state of Colorado. You know what I mean? Like, before Deion came to Boulder, Jay Norvell had the program that would probably win a battle with Colorado for like a good kid in state. And now, like, Deion can win a battle for a kid anywhere over just about anyone. Like, think about how that dynamic has changed for this particular coach in his program. That said, here's Jay Norvell on his coach's show the other night. And then here's Deion's response.
And our kids are really, you know, we had to do a bunch of ESPN videos, and it was great. I loved it. But our kids came out of those videos really with a chip on their shoulder. They're tired of all that stuff. They really are tired of it. And I sat down with ESPN today, and I don't care if they hear it in Boulder. I told them, I took my hat off and I took my glasses off, and I said, when I talk to grown-ups, I take my hat and my glasses off. That's what my mother taught me. So, you know, they're not going to like us no matter what we say or do. It doesn't matter, okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm minding my own business, watching some film, trying to get ready, trying to get out here and be the best coach I could be. And I look up and I read some bull junk that Dan said about us.
Talk to us.
Once again.
Talk to us.
Why would you want to talk about us when we don't talk about nobody? All we do is go out here, work our butts off, and do our job on Saturday. Yes, but when they give us ammunition, they done messed around and made it what? It was just going to be a good game. They done messed around and made it.
Personal.
It was going to be a great test, a battle of Colorado, but they done messed around and made it. Personal.
You've had four players in the first 2 weeks get Pac-12 Player of the Week honors. How does it feel that your players are getting the recognition they deserve from the conference?
That's the goal. That's the aim. I mean, we want them to get even more accolades. I mean, that's – they don't play for accolades. They play to be dominant, and they play to go to the next level and come here and get a solid education. But when they're noticed and when they're highlighted, that's tremendous. That's a tremendous plus for this program.
Is that it? We ended with the Deion talking about his players getting Pac-12 Player of the Week. I was expecting him to be like, and by the way, Jay Norvell, you loser.
You suck.
So here's really my only thing that I want to say about this whole thing. If you're out there looking at this and be like, Jay Norvell, what are you doing? Just stop it.
I love it.
It's fantastic. This doesn't make it any more or less likely that like Colorado State's going to get their butts kicked by Colorado. They probably will. I'm guessing they will. I don't know. But to me, what Jay Norvell did was send a little signal like, well, I'm not afraid. I'm not cowering, and I'm not afraid to take a little shot. And it was a fun shot. Who cares? I mean, people out here acting like this is some huge, oh my God, you've offended Deion. Deion talks all kinds of trash. Who cares? This is fun. This is good. We should all embrace this and applaud Jay Norvell. And hey, look, I know that TV executives are applauding him because they just picked up some viewers for this game. I think it was already going to be wildly successful for a Colorado State game. Okay.
Especially at the time it's coming on. Yeah.
Yeah. Late night. I mean, it was a, but this is just, look, again, I'm arranging my Saturday to make sure that I see this game. So, and I don't think Jay Norvell did it for that reason. I think he did it for, like I said earlier, if you're that guy, you did not sign up for all of a sudden the biggest sensation in sports being your in-state rival all of a sudden, you know, I mean, it is a very different job for him right now, but I say good for you, man. Take a little shot, have a little fun. It used to be like this. I swear, it used to be like this in sports where people would go to a press conference and just, you know, rip someone and take a little shot, and then they'd hash it out. And now it's because it's this instant reaction. Everybody's like, oh, my God, what are you doing, Jay Norvell? How could you do that? Grow up.
I know. I mean, look, anybody ever watch Steve Spurrier's press conferences like in the late 90s, early 2000s? They're awesome.
There you go.
Just beautiful.
Fantastic.
We need more of it in college football. I'm 100% for Jay Norvell doing this. And look, I don't know. This is not, to me, going to have much of an impact on the game. It's Colorado State. It's a rivalry game. So there's enough motivation there anyway. I will say I am falling more and more in love with Deion Sanders for no other reason than his go-to phrase apparently is bull junk.
Oh,
and I'm getting
such a
behind that.
Dern bull junk is, yeah. Oh man, that should be t-shirts, right? Get this dern bull junk out of here.
I love it. I mean, he says it like every public comment that he has. So I'm absolutely here for it. And apparently, look, I'll give Deion this. You know, there's this, you know, behind the scenes video before the Nebraska game last week of him like educating his players on the rivalry and making it personal. He is good at getting his players to buy into people taking personal shots at him and all that stuff. Whatever you got to do to get them motivated, that's what a good coach does.
Yeah, so there's a text on the text line. So the comment about hat and glasses from Jay Norvell is a very thinly veiled racist statement. Jay Norvell is biracial. In fact, I know his father quite well, Merritt Norvell, who was one of the first black athletic directors in the Big Ten. So I don't think that's at all the case. I think it's a personal shot at Deion, and you know, that's Deion's brand, right? I mean, Deion's brand, going back to the 80s, has been the hat and the glasses, right?
Well, this won't be the last time either. Like, this is Deion, to his credit, has stolen a lot of the thunder in the coaching world right now. He's done a great job at Colorado. They're a lot of fun to watch. They're going to continue to be a lot of fun to watch. I'm still, look, people keep talking about them being a college football playoff threat, and I can't get there with them. I think that they're probably like a 7-5, 8-4 type team, but we'll see. We'll see what happens on that front. But look, When you have a star as big as Deion and he's making the noise that he's making, this will not be the last coach that takes a shot at him moving forward. I guarantee it.
I hope not. Now, don't be afraid to do it, you know? Now the first coach who beats him, now that's,
oh, yeah.
Well, remember what Dan Lanning said about Colorado when they left the Pac-12, not right before Oregon left the Pac-12 too, by the way. But
we're getting ready to find out on that one too.
But still, yeah, I mean, certainly him. I don't know about Lincoln Riley. Hopefully Lincoln Riley will find some gumption and talk a little trash himself. But those games, the first time he gets beat, you know, there's going to be a whole bunch of noise on that side of things too. And again, it will all be fun.
It will be. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. We'll get his thoughts on the matchup for the Titans against the Chargers. That is next. Check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal. It's the legendary Elliston Place Soda Shop. Elliston Place Soda Shop is one part soda shop, one part meat and three, and one part old school diner that has been serving Nashville since 1939. Get half off a $20 gift card to Elliston Place Soda Shop now at thegamenashville.com. While they last. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.